The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Missy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. It's 17-10 anytime. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Bosses up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
A warm welcome to the Punt Podcast, one and all. On this edition, we catch up with the Sunday Times football correspondent, Jonathan Northcroft, to talk about the scourge of the bookmaker and speculate about which player is the most influential in the Premier League. We'll also talk about ageing managers and where the chairman in the top flight are showing signs of backward thinking. Sam Norris bids to keep the fine run of tips going in Europe, and Pete Farries, Gav Puchalski and Al Ross give us their best bets in the Football League. But first, it's a look at the TV games in the Premier League with Derek McGovern and Andy Excel. A warm welcome to you, Mr. McGovern.
Good afternoon, chaps. I'm currently surrounded by naked women being fed grapes because of another winning nap from McGovern. Get in there, Excel. Eat that.
I had one myself. Wasn't quite a bigger price as you, but Chelsea...
I'm 4-6. Stick your neck out there, matey.
I know. Not as brave as you.
As I've always said, Derek, midweek naps don't count. I wasn't on the podcast, and we'll hear from Lee Phelps later on. He'll confirm that as well, Derek. That's coming up in due course. We're going to get stuck into the TV games first of all, and we'll start with Chelsea versus Newcastle, which is live and televised. This is a 12:30 kickoff on Saturday. Chelsea 2-9 to win this match. The draw 5-1 with Newcastle at 12-1. Enhanced odds, Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win in the 90 minutes was 17-20. That's been enhanced to 11-10. Matt Ritchie to score and Newcastle to win was 25-1. That has been enhanced to 50-1. And Derek, Antonio Conte made plenty of changes for that midweek winner, with Antonio Rudiger scoring the only goal of that game. As for Newcastle, they stopped the recent rot, coming from 2 down at the Hawthorns to snatch a point. And as you would expect in this fixture, Chelsea have got a good record. They've won 15 of their 22 Premier League home games against Newcastle at Stamford Bridge, including each of the last 4. That's the kind of record, Derek, you'd expect Chelsea to have at home against Newcastle.
Yeah, but that's a spike to this one, isn't it, with Rafa going back to Chelsea, where he was never popular with the fans. Who is with Chelsea fans? Hard to say. I don't know. You look at the way Newcastle have been playing. I thought they'd do all right in the Premier League this season, but they're in a worrying run of form, and bouncing back from 2-0 down against West Brom doesn't mean it's over. I mean, being 2-0 down against West Brom is cause for more worry, I'd have thought. I think Newcastle fans want Benitez to concentrate on avoiding defeat here, and that will be a change, because most of the time at Newcastle he's avoided victory. It's not been a greatest season. I mean, I love Rafa. You know my thoughts about Rafa, yeah, for what he did about Liverpool. And it annoys me that he never gets the acclaim he deserves at other clubs. The only place he hasn't been labelled a fat Spanish waiter was during his time in Spain, where fat Spanish waiters are everywhere, except near your table, by the way. I love him. And I know what he's going to do. I know his MO, because I saw it at Liverpool. Well, he's going to go to Chelsea now. He's not going to want to get hammered, and they could get hammered. Even though Chelsea only beat Swansea 1-0 in midweek, Chelsea could hammer Newcastle this week. What's going to happen? Rafa's going to go there. He hasn't got the players to attack him, to try and out football them. But what Rafa does is set up his sides defensively when he needs to, and he'll need to here. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go for a draw half-time, Chelsea win at full-time. Mm-hmm. Now, that is 16-5. Compare that with 2-9 Chelsea to win at any stage. Come on, there's got to be a bit of mileage there, hasn't there?
16-5 draw half time, Chelsea full time. The question is whether Newcastle can hang on until half time, because Chelsea will have their big guns back. Eden Hazard only got 10 minutes midweek against Swansea. He'll come back into the starting lineup. And at Newcastle, away from home, they've just won once in their last 18. Premier League away games, and as Derek mentioned, it is a worrying spell for Newcastle, and they're in danger of being relegated, Andy.
Yeah, they're dropping. What that run of form coincides with is when Jamal Lascelles has been out of the team. He's held them together at the back and showed leadership and whatever, and now he's been out of the team for a few injured. Mm. They've suddenly gone into a worrying dip. Two can't be coincidence for me. Chelsea have won the last three of these, 5-1, 2-0 and 3-0. You'd expect them to win easy again. I was looking at that enhanced odds offer there with Hazard to score and Chelsea to win that. Again, like Derek, you're trying to find something here because there's not a lot there in terms of value, but that might be all right at 11-10, the Hazard and Chelsea to win.
If you're looking at the handicap markets, Chelsea minus one is 8-13. Chelsea minus two in the market at 7-4 in that game. The big one comes from the Emirates this weekend. Arsenal versus Manchester United. 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. The Gunners 6-4 to win this game. The draw 23-10 with Manchester United at 9-5. The enhanced odds, Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win, was 14-5. That's been enhanced to 7-2. Romelu Lukaku to score and Manchester United to win again was 14-5. That has been enhanced to 7-2. This is hashtag your odds as well here with William Hill. So if there's a bet that you fancy but it's not on the William Hill website, do tweet at William Hill using the hashtag your odds and the William Hill traders will price this game up. And both these teams, Andy, come into this on the back of impressive wins in midweek. Manchester United quickly in the ascendancy against Watford, while Arsenal put five past a Huddersfield side who must have been shattered having chased the ball for 90 minutes last weekend against Manchester City. And the Gunners have bounced back strongly from that 3-1 defeat against Manchester City back in early November. They've won the last three in the Premier League without conceding. There appears to have been a change in attitude and they're now 4 points ahead of Spurs, which will please their fans, one of which is sitting next to me.
Yeah, it's nice to see Tottenham a mid-table team again.
They're closer to the relegation zone, Spurs, than they are to the top of the Premier League.
Oh, you're wishful thinking. Oh, dream of that. No, both teams won in midweek, but I think the results flattered both. I don't think Arsenal deserved to put five past Huddersfield. Huddersfield actually did all right watching a lot of the game. Having said that, I'm not normally an optimistic Arsenal fan, but I'm really optimistic about Arsenal in this game. I can't see United winning. You're talking about a team that have won 14 games at home in a row, and Man United aren't in that great a form for me. So I just think this is Arsenal all over. I'm really, really confident.
I'm looking forward to this one, Derek. Andy, confident, 6-4, the Gunners to win the game. But I like Arsene Wenger always going up against Jose Mourinho because it's a fascinating battle. This will actually be the 18th meeting between these two managers. Mourinho has lost just two of those, but those two losses have come over the last four meetings with Arsene Wenger. And we've talked, Derek, on this podcast about boring Mourinho numerous times. But they've scored the second most goals in the Premier League this season, Manchester United, and they do look a different proposition with Paul Pogba in that starting lineup.
Yeah, they do. He's a different class. I've said on this when he was getting all that stick. I said even at £98 million, I'd being left out of a few pubs in Liverpool for saying it. Even at that price, he's a bargain. I think he's a sensational player, and yet with him in the side, United's chances of winning any game increased by about 50% in my eyes. I won't be backing them here, though, because it's a big game for Man United away from home, and we know exactly what they do there. Their number one priority is not to concede. You know, when you look back at the record, I think they've only scored one goal away from home in the last, 10 big six meetings. Why should we expect it to be any different this weekend?
Because they're chasing City?
Well, they're not, are they? No one thinks they're chasing City. 8 points behind, City will be lapping them soon. It's a big game. It's a big game because of the two managers. Obviously, Mourinho's called Wenger a specialist in failure. Hard to argue with that one. He's also called him a voyeur. It's easy to argue with that one because a voyeur sees everything and Arsene Wenger sees nothing. We know that. I can see the draw this. I wouldn't be surprised if it was 0-0. I'm not getting worked up with Arsenal putting five past Huddersfield. I've said on this bulletin many times just how bad Huddersfield are. Don't take my word for it. Here's how bad they are from the bookies. Everton are odds on to beat them this weekend. That's how bad Huddersfield are. So ignore what happened in midweek. Actually, United were impressive, by the way, against Watford, I thought. But they ain't going to be winning this. Arsenal ain't going to be winning this. This is a stick-on draw.
Borussia Dortmund are suffering an alarming slump in form of late, and if you haven't done so already, this could be the week to capitalise. They travel to Bayer Leverkusen on Saturday with the hosts breathing down their necks in the Bundesliga table. Dortmund are now winless in the league since September, and their misery was compounded last week when they threw away a 4-0 lead to draw 4-all with Schalke. Confidence must be low in the camp, and Leverkusen, by contrast, have got their tails up. They're now unbeaten since September and could move above Dortmund with a win this weekend. 11-8 looks a great price for the hosts to win this outright, but given how many goals these two serve up, there's further value to be extracted. Dortmund games this season average a league-high 4.08 goals, and Leverkusen ranked third in the league for that stat, with their games serving up on average 3.38. With that in mind, go for goals here and go for a Leverkusen win. I'm napping Bayer Leverkusen to beat Borussia Dortmund with over 2.5 goals in the match at 9-5 this week.
Now, on to Sunday's fixtures that are televised. Bournemouth versus Southampton is first at 1:30 kickoff this one. Bournemouth are 7-4 to win it. The draw 11-5 with Southampton in the betting at 13-8. The enhanced odds, Callum Wilson to score and Bournemouth to win, was 3-1. That's been enhanced to 4-1. And Charlie Austin to score and Southampton to win was 15-4. That's been boosted to 5-1. Derek, only a cigarette paper between them in the betting, but it's been a disappointing week for Eddie Howe's men. Only picked up a point against Swansea last weekend, and they were beaten at home by Burnley on Wednesday night. Southampton tonked Everton and were valiant in defeat against City in their two most recent games. And at Bournemouth this season, they've lost four of their seven home games. They only lost six in the entirety of last season, so I don't know how to call this, Derek. How do you make a case for either side in this one?
Well, the first thing I'd say is, why are Southampton favourites away from home at Bournemouth? I'm not saying Bournemouth are in any great shakes, but there's nothing in the league between them. Southampton away from home, and yet they're favourites. I mean, it's without doubt the worst bet I've ever seen, but I'll have some of it anyway. No, I won't. I mean, Southampton, I mean, yeah, the performance against City midweek came out of the blue, that one. I wasn't getting worked up by them beating Everton, but they really almost kept Man City at bay. And having watched them at Anfield a few weeks ago, I couldn't quite believe what was happening there. I've always thought Southampton is the refuge of those not talented enough to play for Liverpool, as indeed is Liverpool. Bournemouth, victory could mean the difference between getting relegated and finishing bottom, because that's how bad they are. I've got no idea. Absolutely no idea. And I'm guessing that won't surprise either of you two. I'll have to go for the draw, 11-5. The biggest price and as likely an outcome as a home or away win.
If you're looking for a goal scorer in this game, I wouldn't put anyone off having a look at Joshua King, who's 7-4 to score any time. Does tend to find his form, gets in a run of form, a purple patch, and continues to score. And he actually scored only his second goal in 12 Premier League appearances this season in Bournemouth's midweek loss against Burnley. And in his final 12 games of the 2016-17 season, he did score 10 goals. So he tends to get in a vein of form and continue it. So 7-4 he is to score any time. But it's a match where struggling to muster up any enthusiasm, Andy.
Yeah, it's like Derek says. It's a difficult game to pick. It's a difficult game for the managers. I think it's a swing game for both teams. How this game goes could define how their next period goes and therefore how the rest of the season goes. A win for either of these here would be massive. But I'm like Derek, I'll probably settle for the draw.
Manchester City versus West Ham is the last of the televised games this weekend. This one is a 4 p.m. kickoff on Sunday. City are 1-12 to win it. The draw 10-1 with West Ham 22-1. Enhanced odds, Kevin De Bruyne to score and Man City to win was 13-10. That's been enhanced to 6-4. And Andy Carroll, who was missing midweek, for him to score and West Ham to win was 35-1. That's been enhanced to 50-1. When I checked earlier, Andy, West Ham were 25-1 to win this game. They've been clipped into 22-1. Some prices available on the William Hill website. City are now 15-2 to remain unbeaten in the Premier League this season. They've played 14, won 13 and drawn 1 so far. And David Moyes has been well backed to be next manager, to be sacked as well. And I think West Ham are odds on for the first time to be relegated. They're into 10-11 to go down. I didn't think 25-1 was big enough. So I'm definitely not taking that 22s, Andy.
No, I mean, you know, Moyes, the next three fixtures are really difficult. So then people are thinking, are they really in trouble come January? And then do they want to give him money to spend in January? This is the time of year managers get sacked for that reason alone. One thing I would say about this game, this is a stat I didn't realise myself, because everybody thinks City are absolutely hammering everybody. They haven't beaten anybody by three goals in their last eight games now. You can back West Ham plus three around even money.
Okay.
So, awful as they are, if it hasn't happened in eight games, I'm digging that one out. You know, but
you're a brave man.
A brave man, but sometimes putting up even money shots, Derek will be proud of me. but yeah, City, you know, City going unbeaten all season, they could do it. I hope they don't, for Arsenal's invincible sake. Let's keep them, keep the legend there. But yeah, you know, I think West Ham plus three would be where I'm looking at here.
Here's an interesting one, Derek. West Ham's only win at the Etihad Stadium in the Premier League came in September 2015. That ended City's club record, 11 consecutive Premier League wins. That was their club record. They've now gone on a winning run of 12 in the Premier League. It would be too much of a coincidence to think that West Ham could halt their winning run again in the Premier League, Derek.
Yeah, it would, especially after watching them at Everton. They made Everton look like Brazil. Everton can't score. They put four past them. Everton can't defend. They kept West Ham out. I think the West Ham players need to go and stand in front of a mirror and take a long, soft look at themselves, because they were absolutely atrocious that night. And no surprise for those of us who questioned publicly the appointment of David Moyes. Another catastrophic appointment for West Ham. He's also got it as his right-hand man, Stuart Pearce, who thought Beanie the horse was the answer to his number two problem at whenever it was, wherever he managed it with Beanie the horse. It's just a joke, West Ham, at the moment. But one thing I will say, and this is to sort of reinforce what Andy said about West Ham plus three goals, the players at West Ham are in the Premier League for a reason. The Premier League players, they're good enough to play in the Premier League. And what you get from players at the top level, when they've had an absolute shellacking, when they've been, you know, publicly vilified and criticised and rebuked and scorned, you often get a reaction, because if you don't get a reaction, you've got no business playing at the top level. I've seen it many times. I remember most vividly in the World Cup a few years ago, Saudi Arabia got beat 8-0 by Germany in the first game. Everybody was laughing at them. And in the next game, he played someone like Romania or something and won 1-0 or drew 0-0. They keep it tight. They don't want another public humiliation. And I think that's what's going to happen here. And you're right, Andy. Man City, they've got this fantastic reputation of being cavalier and battering everyone. It ain't happening. We've needed 94th-minute winners from Raheem Sterling in half the games they've played. So I'm going to side with you here. I'm going to go for West Ham with a three-goal start at even money. And that's a big, big price, that.
Well, no wins for the Premier League tipsters, but an 11-4 winner for Al Ross, with Grimsby winning. He's back on form. The Euro boys had their fourth winner in 6 weeks as well. I'm just on my way through to see what they're up to. They're both in the studio. 11-4 winner it was. Lads, do you know what? I think I'm just going to leave that. I'm not sure what's going on in there, to be honest with you. Having a Euro party. But they're doing well, so who cares, eh? If they're winning you money, I'm happy. Al Ross is top of the table, £13.50. DK is second, and the Euro boys are third. Good luck with your bets.
Told you, Derek, midweek naps don't count.
Disgraceful, absolutely disgraceful.
Robbed. You did both have winning midweek naps. It must be mentioned, with Chelsea winning 2-0 and Derek going with Burnley. Go on then, Derek. On the back of that Burnley bet, they must be tempting you again, are they, Burnley, away at Leicester?
Yes, they are, 19-5. It's just whatever your odds compilers are putting in the team with their view of Southampton, always underpriced. Burnley are overpriced. I mentioned earlier in the week that Leicester have only lost this season to teams in the top six. Well, guess what? Burnley are in the top six. And deservedly so, because they've been absolutely sensational. And 19-5, yet again, is an insult to them. So I'm going to go for them.
19-5, Burnley. Andy?
Yeah, I mean, every week goes by, you become a bigger, bigger fan of Sean Dyche. You know, everything he does seems to turn out right. And that's not by accident. He's just a really, really good manager. You know, if all went terrible for Mr. Southgate at the World Cup, why not?
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
What I mean? Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? You could do far worse.
I don't think he'd want the England job, Daesh. 19 to 5 Burnley to win. What about your nap, Andy?
I'm torn, but I'm actually thinking of going with Arsenal, but I will go with that West Ham plus 3 at evens.
West Ham plus 3 at even money. You know what? I'm gonna take a stab with Watford to win at home against Spurs. I know they were beaten 4-2, but Spurs are underperforming at the moment, and that 7-2 looks big for Watford at home.
And Watford, actually, if you look at the underlying statistics against Man United, they actually played all right.
So that treble, Burnley at 19-5, West Ham plus 3 at even money, Watford at 7-2, 42.2 to 1.
Hashtag Savaka on Twitter at William Hill, and the Savakas on fine form. 2 out of the last 3 with a 9-1 winner in midweek. This week's hashtag Savaka is Liverpool to win at Brighton, Everton to beat Huddersfield, Stoke City to beat Swansea, Manchester United to win at Arsenal, and finally Manchester City to beat West Ham. Hashtag Savaka on Twitter at William Hill.
Now it's a delight to welcome the Sunday Times football correspondent Jonathan Northcroft onto the podcast. Joins myself and Derek to discuss a couple of the football topics we've selected for this week. First of all, it's a warm welcome to Jonathan. Jonathan, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, chaps.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Yeah, very good. You good?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Have you been at a game this midweek?
No. I've been monitoring things at Mission Control, i.e. my sofa. I couldn't actually decide which games to go to, so I've had 2 nights in front of the TV, and I have to say it's been a cracking midweek. I mean, particularly the goals scored in some of those matches, absolutely brilliant stuff.
Dramatic finish for Manchester City against Southampton. Raheem Sterling this season, 82nd minute equaliser against Everton, 96th minute winner against Bournemouth, 88th minute winner against Feyenoord, 84th minute winner against Huddersfield, and then the 96th minute winner on Wednesday night against Southampton. There's no doubt he's improved under the management of Pep Guardiola, and it bodes well for the World Cup next season.
It does, doesn't it? I mean, he's got a real focus to his game now that maybe wasn't quite there before. And I think part of it's Guardiola. In fact, a huge part of it's got to be Guardiola. But I think also it's just him maturing as a player. You know, he's always had incredible talent. And it's been a question of waiting for him to put it together. And I think he's starting to realise, like a lot of really skillful attacking players, that actually you're judged on goals. So if you focus on that, then everything else starts to come. And you know, he could score 20 this season, no problem, and take that in with alongside Harry Kane, give England a fairly potent forward line.
And Derek, there's no doubt he's been the scourge of the bookmaker this season. I'm sure you feel very sorry for William Hill.
Oh yeah, I mean, he has done. He's come on leaps and bounds, Sterling, this year. But he's there's always the mistrust of him, but he's unpopular with neutrals, isn't he? Is you know, with some of the things he's done, some of the antics he's pulled off. I think he went down against Huddersfield, he went down against Southampton, and he also went down against the Euro Sterling, I heard this week as well. So not the most popular player in the game.
Let's get stuck into this week's two topics then. I want to talk about managers in the Premier League first of all, and whether the Premier League is behind in terms of recruitment. Every time a team gets into trouble, Jonathan, and needs rescuing, we get the same names: Alan Pardew, Sam Allardyce and Tony Pulis bandied about. Real football men, in inverted commas. And Allardyce has got that huge, juicy contract as Everton boss. Pardew has been confirmed as West Brom boss in the last couple of days. And this is without even mentioning David Moyes, who failed miserably at his last three clubs. He was seen as the man to pull West Ham out of their current predicament. Are the Premier League chairmen behind in terms of recruitment, in terms of top-class managers?
Without a doubt. I mean, I think there's a few things going on here, and they might help explain why, you know, Sam Allardyce is being paid more than Diego Simeone and Zinedine Zidane to manage a team at the bottom of the Premier League. I think the first thing is panic. It is just panic leading a lot of the sackings and then subsequent appointments. They just don't want to drop out of the league, and that becomes uppermost in Premier League chairman's minds, who are really prioritising
experience above anything else. What you know, you can understand panic, but what you really want clubs is to plan so that they don't get themselves in these situations. I think that's really where English football's behind. You know, we're still not quite sure whether we want to use sporting directors, directors of football and football clubs. I'm a big fan of them. I always have been. I think their role is always misunderstood here. Everyone focuses on transfers and you can't interfere with the manager. But that's only a small part of what a football director does. In fact, they don't even have to do transfers. What they should be doing is overseeing the whole football department. And, you know, if you look at Germany, they've got such a good tradition of developing managerial talent. I think if Eddie Howe was in Germany, he'd actually only be the ninth youngest manager in the Bundesliga. They've got loads of young coaches, and they've got sporting directors at most clubs who are able to pick the coaching talent that's coming up. So I think those are the reasons. I mean, the guys you've mentioned, nothing against them, all good coaches. You know, I'd actually disagree that David Moyes has been a miserable failure. I think his clubs have been pretty miserable failures, but I'm not sure it was all down to him. Sam will probably keep Everton up, and I like Alan Pardew, what he's done in some of his managerial jobs. But surely the way to go is what Southampton did with Pochettino, what Hull did with Silva. But also look at young managers in the Championship. There's some really good managers there, and that's what clubs aren't doing. But it's a lack of planning coupled with panic.
And Derek, there's been this myth in the past that it's foreign managers stopping the development of young British managers. But it's actually the older British managers. You look at the stats, the average age of British bosses appointed this season is 61 years old. There are 9 British managers in the Premier League now, including all of the bottom 7, none of the top 6. The average age of those managers is 53 years old. Major trophies, 0 so far for those managers. So that's a myth that's been busted recently, Derek.
True, right, it is. And to that list of managers you named, you can also add Roy Hodgson, a catastrophic appointment by Crystal Palace. No matter what he does, he has been so devalued, it's beyond belief. I mean, Big Sam, I've never heard fans of any of the clubs he's mismanaged holler for him to stay. The only time fans of whichever team is in charge of chants his name, it's followed by the word out. Would any club in Spain hire him? In Italy, hire him? In Germany, hire him? They wouldn't. It takes 4 games to convince his players that they're not there to play football. Their job is to welly it. They've even changed that song in Casablanca to Hoof It Again, Sam. It's a catastrophic appointment by Everton. There's not a single Evertonian I've spoken down to who is happy with his appointment. It's just awful. And I tell you what, I've actually got a feeling here. The fans I speak to now, I've got a feeling the fans are not fans of Premier League clubs from about 8th downwards. I'm beginning to believe that they won't be bothered about going down to the Championship if it gets them a chance to fight for some glory there the following season, with the crowd getting excited instead of playing Neanderthal football in a desperate battle to finish 17th. How dispiriting is that season after season? So I think the days are numbered. The days of Hippo Head Allardyce and his ilk, they are numbered.
Okay, let's move on to the second topic this week. I want to talk about Tottenham Hotspur, and more specifically, Toby Alderweireld. Some stats for you here. Since the start of last season, with Toby Alderweireld in the starting lineup, Tottenham have won 70% of their matches. Without him in the starting lineup, they've won just 41%. Admittedly, small sample sizes, those. But there is an argument to say that he's the most important and influential player for any club in the Premier League at the moment, Jonathan. And without Alderweireld, Spurs are starting to wobble slightly.
Yeah, those are great stats, by the way. They don't really surprise me because he's the best defender in the Premier League for me. He's not just a really good defensive player, but he uses the ball really well, which is important for Tottenham, and he organises the defence. And you look at Jan Vertonghen, who's only half the defender when he doesn't have his compatriot with him. Huge blow. I think it's not only that that Spurs are falling down on, but you know, I have to say that they're having creative problems as well. And I think Dele Alli's lost his way over the past maybe more than this season. You know, maybe past calendar year, I guess. I think he hasn't quite figured out what he's doing with his game. He seems to just be focused on trying to make late runs into the box to score. So I think those are issues as well. But I mean, when you lose, when you don't have the best defender in the Premier League, and you are a team that is based principally on defence, which is what Pochettino does. Of course, it's going to affect you.
Those stats, by the way, come from whoscored.com. And Derek, we've spoken on this podcast numerous times about Tottenham Hotspur and the fact they've had to play their home games at Wembley. That's definitely affected them throughout this season. But Jonathan picks up on an interesting point about Dele Alli as well. And you've been quite outspoken about Dele Alli and his performances in the last 6 months, shall we say.
Yeah. Dele Alli's been so crap, I've rechristened him Dele Belly. I mean, I always thought he was overhyped anyway last season. I never thought he was quite the player the press raved about. I mean, we've seen it so many times. I remember Adnan Januzaj scoring a couple of goals for Man United, and he was the next big thing. Now he's playing for someone like, Grimsby or something like that. he was way hyped up way above his talent, Dele Alli. You mentioned Alderweireld, but it also has a bit of a knock-on effect because they put Eric Dier in the back now. So not only are you weakening the defence with him there, you're weakening the midfield as well. But so Alderweireld, he played for 2 years at Atletico Madrid pretty recently and only made 12 appearances there. So we're not talking Franz Beckenbauer here. I mean, he is a big miss. But, you know, there's other problems for Spurs as well, as you've mentioned, Dele Alli. If you're relying on Moussa Sissoko, you're in trouble. And, you know, the manager, I don't think Mauricio Pochettino knows what his best team is. On current form, I'd say it was Southampton.
Now at William Hill, you can get your bet onto the website for featured matches. If there's a bet you fancy that's not on the app, just tweet with the hashtag #YourOdds to @WilliamHill and the traders will try to price it up. Hashtag #YourOdds from William Hill.
Hi, my name's Pete Farries and I'm still reeling after Sheffield United's inability to win last weekend. They went off, of course, at 8-13 but were not able to get the job done. Of course, that game finishing 1-1 in the end. This week, I'm going for a bigger price because I think there is some serious value in a game at Elland Road on Friday night. Aston Villa are 15-8 and that to me seems like absolutely unbelievable value. 4 wins from 5 for Aston Villa is impressive, and while their away form isn't quite as solid, they have won at Burton, Preston and QPR in their last 5. Losing at Wolves is really not particularly shameful with the way that Wolves are currently playing, and I suppose you do have to be kind to Leeds United as well. I mean, they beat Middlesbrough, they took apart a very, very, very poor Barnsley, but on the whole, they get beaten by good teams and they beat the poor ones. And yes, fellow Borough fans, I'm including us in that as well. 15-8 for Aston Villa is massive. I could toy with the idea of draw no bet, but you know what? I'm not going to. My nap of the week in the Championship is going to be Aston Villa to beat Leeds on Friday night at 15-8. Slim pickings in League One this weekend because of FA Cup Round 2. I've only got a couple of games to have a look at, and I'm going to be choosing Southend against Oldham. Not much to separate between these two sides. Southend are 14th, Oldham Athletic are 17th. Southend have got 25 points, Oldham have got 23 points. Southend have got a goal difference of -7. Oldham have got a goal difference of -6. The point I'm making is there's very little to separate Southend United and Oldham Athletic, and I think that's the way I'm approaching this game on Saturday at Rootsall. Southend United unbeaten in 8 at home, but in those 8 games they've drawn 5 of them, including 2 of their last 3 at home against Peterborough and Oxford, 1-1, 1-1. Oldham away from home, well, they've drawn away at Bradford 1-1, they've drawn away at MK Dons 4-4, they've recently drawn 0-0 away at Gillingham, and at home, last time out, they did draw 0-0 against Wimbledon. So, to put it bluntly, Southend plus football equals draws, Oldham plus football equals draws, therefore Southend United plus Oldham plus Saturday afternoon action equals the draw, which is my nap selection between these two sides at 12-5. Looking at the FA Cup Round 2, here's Al Ross.
There are lots of odds on in-form League 2 sides against lower league opposition, and they do look tempting, but there are also all League 2 encounters that catch the eye. 5-6 on a Port Vale side hosting a Yeovil outfit with just 2 wins and 1 draw in their last 16 games away from Huish Park, for instance. But I'm going for an even bigger price elsewhere, because in League 2 form table terms, Stevenage against Swindon is bottom against 7th. And when the Stevenage chairman writes notes in a programme apologising, but not really apologising, for fielding lots of players under 21 due to finances, and highlighting how much bigger so many other teams in the division are, it's a club firefighting. A 90th minute winner when scoring three at home to Accrington the week after Luton had knocked seven past them remains Stevenage's only league win in nine, and that was more than a month ago. Two draws and six defeats, scoring just the four goals in the other league games since the start of October, and three of the last seven goals have been scored by Matty Godden, who was out injured last week. No word on his condition. And yet, Stevenage are the favourites against the best away team in League Two. Let that sink in for a second. Stevenage 29-20 and Swindon, who've won seven of their 10 away games in League Two so far this season, are 17-10. I'm assuming Swindon's home form must be keeping the Vultures from seeing the value here and snatching it up. They've only won three at home, but they're not at home. And even if they were, Stevenage are one of the teams they've beaten on their home patch. It's not just Swindon's ability to win away that's impressive, it's how they're winning. They lost at Grimsby but scored twice, and they'd won their previous five away games, scoring 17. It's an easy choice of nap this week, and it's Swindon at 17-10.
That is it for this edition of the Punt Podcast. I do hope you've enjoyed it. Check out all the betting ahead of this week's football at sports.williamhill.com. Also check it out on the app. And be aware there will be plenty of offers for this week's football throughout the course of the weekend. Thank you to everyone that's contributed to this podcast. And as ever, you can check out all William Hill's podcasts at audioboom.com and all available at the usual podcast places. And finally, if you're having a bet on the football this weekend, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.